白人の割合が 36.8、
はい、うん、イギリス人のですね、
はい、いやもっと多いと思ってたから、うん、パーセンテージで割合は少ないかなと僕は思いました。今聞いて、
あ、3分の1にまで減りましたらどう思いますか、
ね、ま、大変なことやなって、まあまあ驚く、びっくりする、はい、大阪でも結構違う旅行者、サイトスイング観光で来ている人はいいけど、うん、住んでる人はそんなに多くないと思うんです。でだからどないか3割言うたらもう会う人がほとんども外国人の方になったら、うん、で日本って大丈夫かなって。
I have a new shop, new designs, have a look. Link is in the description. It helps the channel, I'm sure you'll find something you'll like. Thanks in advance, and let's get going. Now, in your mind's eye, try to imagine a picture. That picture being the quiet fields of Japan's northern island, Hokkaido. For generations, Japanese farmers like Ryotaro Ishii have worked the land, honoring traditions, following the social rules that have built a safe, harmonious society. In early 2026, that peace was disrupted in Ibetsu by a prefabricated building used as a mosque by the local Pakistani community, a building that had stood for years without proper permits and in a restricted area. Locals raised concerns about the construction violations and the neighborhood impact, but many felt authorities were doing nothing to address those concerns of the community. Then, in late February, the structure burned down in an arson fire. Ishii, the 37-year-old farmer from Chitose, well, he was first arrested when trying to burn it down the first time, and then after he was released, he went back the second time to finish the job, and then, of course, was then later rearrested in connection with it. Now, while we can condemn illegal actions like arson, of course, at the same time, we can deeply understand the frustration that led the Japanese people there. For many Japanese, this wasn't just about one building. It symbolized ignored rules, changing neighborhoods, and a sense that their voices were being sidelined in their own country. And Japan has every right to expect that anyone living or building here follows the same strict laws that the Japanese citizens must obey. When that doesn't happen, resentment builds naturally. Now, the reason I bring this up is that this incident reflects broader, legitimate worries across Japan today. The country faces real pressures, an aging population, and labor shortages. More foreign workers are pouring into the country daily, and many, many of them refuse to live by the rules of Japan. And many ordinary Japanese, hardworking people who value cleanliness, safety, low crime, and cultural cohesion, feel that the changes are happening too quickly to their country without enough regard to their way of life. And polls show rising opposition to higher immigration levels, with concerns jumping in recent years. And we must say, this is not hatred. It's a desire to protect what makes Japan special. And that same attention to preserving strength and quality brings me to something remarkable. Now, check this out.
I'm going to take a scoop of my high flavanol cocoa right here. This is the stuff that promotes the nitric oxide in our bodies. Nitric oxide, you guys, is what opens up our blood vessels to allow more blood flow, blood pump. You'll see the vascularity and the veins popping, you guys, just like within 30, 45 minutes. I'm going to go to the gym. I'll show you what it looks like before I start working out.
Watch what happens to his arms in just 30 minutes.
I haven't even started working out, but 30, 45 minutes after I took the high flavanol cocoa, already the vasodilation, the veins are popping up. And yes, you guys, it works down there on the main one. Even down, you can see it in my legs, you guys. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there's almost nothing more healing than more healthy blood flow and blood pump throughout your body.
Real quick, I've been doing this myself for several months now, and he's not lying. Now, watch the Harvard part, and this is the part nobody's talking about.
2 cups of dark chocolate in the form of hot chocolate. That's it. 2 cups. To have a day for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, you measure, take out your blood and measure the stem cells again, and then do that flow mediated dilation resiliency test again of the blood vessels to see, have they changed? This is what's amazing has been found, that dark chocolate, the proanthocyanidins, not only got into the bloodstream, but they doubled the number of stem cells circulating in your blood vessels, and they doubled the resiliency, improved by twofold, the resiliency of your blood vessels just over the course of a month with as little as 2 cups of hot chocolate that's dark.
Harvard's Dr. Lee is pretty clear about cocoa's benefits for blood and stem cells. Check out his channel with almost 900,000 subscribers for more in-depth information if you'd like. But what I'd like to draw your attention to is Black Forest's cocoa that preserves the flavanols, unlike most that get lost in the processing. And they are running a rare store-wide buy one, get one free Father's Day sale. And that includes the cocoa, NMN, everything. But only for the next 48 hours. So grab yourself one. Also, send one to Dad via the link in the description and the pinned comment before stock runs out. Now, in the first half of 2026, multiple historic sites in Japan have suffered devastating fires. The 573-year-old Daihoji Temple, the Riekado Hall with its 1,200-year-old eternal flame on Miyajima, and several others across the country. These aren't just buildings, they are the living embodiment of Japan's spiritual heart, Shinto traditions, Buddhist heritage, and ancestral connections. And for the Japanese, each loss feels like a piece of the nation's soul being taken away. Now, officials have noted that the fires at these sites, well, they have declined over the long term, and most are accidental due to the old wooden architecture in the buildings. Yet when these tragedies cluster amid rapid demographic shifts, it's completely understandable why people worry and then rumors spread. Japanese citizens love their country's serene temples and shrines. They represent continuity in a changing world. While churches regularly burn or are transformed into mosques in Europe, for the Japanese, protecting their temples and protecting their shrines is not about bigotry. It's about cultural self-preservation. Something it would seem that Europeans and the West in general have completely forgotten about. Now, this same protective instinct appears in community responses elsewhere. In Fujisawa, thousands of residents peacefully protested plans for a large new mosque. They worried about its scale, potentially overshadowing the historic Shinto shrines, noise from the calls to prayer disrupting quiet neighborhoods, and the broader transformation of the local character. Over 2,500 complaints poured into city offices, with people chanting to preserve their community's identity. Similar protests have targeted unpermitted large constructions by foreign entities in places like Hokkaido and in Fukuoka, as locals feel that they have a right to shape the places where their families have lived for centuries. And what must be understood is that these aren't fringe beliefs. There is a political party with a voice to it called Sanseito, with its Japanese first message, and it has gained a lot of support by speaking directly to these anxieties, calling for controlled immigration, caps on foreign residents in local areas, and stronger enforcement of rules. Many Japanese simply want newcomers to respect etiquette, laws, and customs, just as visitors and residents have done for decades. They point to examples abroad where rapid, poorly managed change has led to parallel societies, higher tensions, and a complete loss in social trust. And if you're living in any Western city, anywhere in the Western world, in any city, I think you can understand what they are getting at. Now, to illustrate this in Japan, recent experiences with the country's small but growing Kurdish community offer a stark cautionary tale. Concentrated in areas like Kawaguchi in Saitama Prefecture, This community has faced significant tensions with locals. Reports include large-scale brawls, such as in 2023 and an incident that involved over 100 Kurds at a hospital that disrupted services. Issues with illegal work, violence, driving without licenses, noise complaints, and failure, to follow Japanese social norms like proper garbage disposal. Some residents and observers have raised concerns about the links to organized activities or funding for groups designated as terrorist organizations in certain contexts. Many Kurds themselves live in legal limbo, often denied refugee status but not yet deported, creating frustration and demonstrations calling for stronger enforcement or deportation by the local Japanese community. Now, these problems mirror challenges seen with Kurdish communities in parts of Europe, where integration difficulties, clan-related issues, and in some cases, the cultural clashes within the host societies, well, they are straining them to the breaking point. In Japan, with its emphasis on conformity, quiet neighborhoods, and high social trust, it simply is not structured like the failed multicultural experiments in the West. Its success as one of the safest, cleanest, and most cohesive society in the world stems largely from its historical homogeneity and shared cultural norms.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. These large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in, shrinking demographics. These countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. We'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries and the standard of living of individuals, even with shrinking populations.
And this brings us to the important research on the broader effects of diversity. And I have spoken about this in other videos at length, but I thought it would be a good place to bring back. And that is Harvard political scientist Robert Putnam and his landmark 2007 study, E Pluribus Unum, which analyzed data from thousands of Americans and found that higher ethnic diversity is associated with reduced social solidarity and social capital. In more diverse communities, residents of all backgrounds tend to hunker down, trusting neighbors less, even within their own groups, having fewer friends, volunteering less, giving less to charity, and engaging less in community life. Now, Putnam obviously had to give it a positive spin in his summary conclusion. So he noted that while successful societies it is possible to eventually build new shared identities over the long run, the immediate costs to social trust and to cohesion are real and measurable. Japan's culture of wa, meaning harmony, meticulous attention to rules and low crime environment, well, it has been built on the foundation of relative homogeneity and mutual understanding. In multicultural nations like Australia or the UK, for example, where distinct groups maintain separate identities with very limited integration, well, this simply would not work in Japan, as evidenced from Putman and his study, as well as real-world examples. And it does suggest that these kinds of societies, well, they would erode the very social fabric that makes Japan a country that has thrived for centuries. The Japanese people are right to be cautious. They are not obligated to transform their nation into an economic zone similar to Canada or into something unrecognizable like New Zealand to accommodate rapid demographic engineering. Thoughtful, controlled immigration that prioritizes cultural compatibility, legal compliance, and genuine assimilation protects what makes Japan exceptional. Japan has thrived for centuries by cherishing its distinct identity, its seasons, festivals, craftsmanship, and the spirit of wa. The Japanese just want to safeguard that legacy for future generations while navigating modern realities. Their concern comes from love of country, not from hate. In a world of rapid globalization, Japan's careful approach to preserving its soul deserves our understanding and respect, especially from Westerners. Because Japan's story is one of resilience, and supporting its people in protecting what they hold dear is simply fair and human. So, what do you think? Well, first of all, thank you very much for still being here at the end. If you are, you have a longer attention span than most people, so again, thank you. What do you think? Leave me your thoughts in the comments section below. Also, if you'd like to help the channel, ways of doing so are in the description. It'd be very much appreciated. Also, remember to check out Black Forest Supplements and their amazing products. Link is in the pinned comment and the description. With that said, I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.